Hello, I'm Scott Soschnick.
And I'm Eben Novi Williams, and this is the $60 million Sports, Tech, Entertainment, VC Fund Sports Business Podcast, The Sporticast.
Whoa, Eben, that's a mouthful. You took the circuitous route, but for what we're in store for, I guess it makes sense because we are chatting with Meredith McFerrin. She's the CEO of the venture fund Drive by DraftKings. And Meredith, earlier in the week, not a bad announcement coming out of Drive by DraftKings when you get to say that you've raised $60 million. What I got to tell you, though, more eye-popping for me than the number, because maybe we get a little numb to all this, you know, when we get so many deals and, oh, you see the valuations of things these days, you know, it is some sort of eye-popping stuff. But it's the who, not the how much. So if I can rattle it off, Jerry Jones, Bob Kraft, the Dolan family, Todd Boehly, by the way, going to be taking part in our live event coming up later in the month. I was with Todd for about 30 minutes earlier in the week. Our friends over at Arctos, that's a who's who in sports and entertainment. I'm guessing that's part of the plan, though.
Yes. So first of all, thank you for having me. It's great to be here. And absolutely, it is a privilege to be calling all of those people and more partners in our fund. And I think that's part of the secret sauce and the special position that we have in sports tech venture investing.
We had Sam Kennedy, who's on your advisory board, I believe. He was on the podcast last week. We talked to him kind of at length about what it means to have LeBron James as an investor in Fenway Sports Group, in the Red Sox, in Liverpool. Give us a sense of, outside of just the capital, obviously, what does it mean to have some of the most powerful owners, some of the most powerful companies in this business backing you guys and working with you guys as you look to invest some money?
Right. Well, first of all, Each one of those people that you mentioned and the groups behind them are really special. I think this is a unique group because they're owners, they're innovators, they're entrepreneurs themselves, many of them, that have built really special franchises, that understand the markets and the fan base and the player community that they connect with. They are bold and competitive and decisive and all of those things. And so it's just like the people we invest in. The people who are invested in us, I think, are similar to just in scaled versions of the entrepreneurs that we're going to invest in. And so they give us, I think, access and insight into the markets that we're invested in. They have a similar energy and spirit around what we're doing. So we're sort of mission aligned on so many levels. So it's exciting. It's important. And I think that it's going to help both us and the companies that we invest in.
Can you give me a little crash course on fundraising? We did a story not long ago with the boys from Arctos, you know, Doc O'Connor and Ian Charles, friends of the program. Like their fund raised about $3 billion. And it's not easy to go out there and get money these days. What is the process like for you? How do you hard target the who? I'm assuming it's a strategic principle. And just the process. How do you go about asking folks for money, and what sorts of things do they want to know from you?
Right. That's a great question. So first and foremost, I think you have to have a really clear vision of your own, of what you want to do. What's your strategy? How you're different? How you're going to invest, and in whom?
May I interject? We're chatting with Meredith McFerrin, by the fund CEO of Drive by DraftKings. Meredith, what is your strategy, and how are you different?
There we go. Let's start there.
Let's get to it.
Okay. So, right. We are a multi-stage venture firm in sports, tech, and entertainment. And that's all we do. We focus on that space. We define it in four buckets of sports and gaming, media and fan engagement, human performance, and then data analytics and monetization. And we invest in entrepreneurs that are driving the future of play and performance. So that's a pretty broad mandate with a very large market size, which I think everybody, I'm sure, listening to this podcast knows how quickly that space is growing and transforming. We have a unique position, as what we've been talking about, because we do have such a fantastic partnership group a platform that is exciting, not only with our founding partners, but also with this incredibly strategic LP base that we've announced today, but also with our All-Star Network, which is an advisory group that has 9 people on it that includes just incredibly elite athletes and leaders in tech, media, and gaming, all focused on the space, on leaders in their craft, and want to invest and help us support the companies that are in the space together. So yeah, that's what we do.
This is probably a question you get a lot because of the name. What's the relationship between Drive by DraftKings and DraftKings? Because it might not be what I think a lot of people
I know this is audio, included. But I have my finger on my hand in the air. I can answer this one if you want to. I mean, Meredith, you ought to take it, but you know, I can do this
one. I want to see how well you can do. Let's see.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, you're owned by DFKS. So you have to understand that's a joint venture owned in part by DraftKings. And the CEO, of course, we all know Jason Robbins. He's been on the program as well, the CFO, and the fund accomplice. So the name is in there, but you're not really owned by or affiliated with DraftKings.
Okay, that was a pretty good start, but let me just make sure that
She gave you a C.
I was expecting F maybe, but that's okay. I'll take it.
I think the easiest way to understand us is this. We are an independent venture capital firm. And DraftKings is a very important anchor investor in our fund. They, along with 3 other venture funds, were founding partners as we established our entity. So yes, DraftKings and 3 venture firms, General Catalyst, Accomplice, and Boston Seed Capital, got us started. When we then launched a fund, they all became investors in our fund. And they're strategically important because we collaborate. You know, so much about it, about all of this is not just what the structure is, but what the soft tissue is. Do you build ideas together? Do you connect? Can you invest together? Do you open doors for each other? That's all the things that we do, lend insight, collaborate, but we also are independent. And I think that's a really important idea that we just need to make sure we get across. We're an independent firm. We make our own investment decisions. But we work together closely with all those friends.
You listed all those 4 kind of buckets that you guys are looking at. I would argue that sports betting and gaming kind of potentially could fall into any of those 4. Is that an area that you guys are looking to do more work in?
Yeah, we absolutely. We look at the technology that I think enables that space. So we would look at the underlying tech that is driving sports betting and iGaming and esports. When we get into other types of gaming that, for instance, are related to the metaverse or NFT and crypto gaming intersections, that whole hot space, we are very bullish on it, and we are in the game on that for sure.
10 minutes from my head starting to hurt. And I've read the Jacob Feldman explainer on the metaverse. So I do know, by the way, some pro sports owners are buying plots of land in the metaverse. And from what I understand, you let me know if this is right, Meredith. From what I understand, the true value of the plot is derived from who your neighbors are.
Yes, right. Is that any different than...
No, right.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Location, even in the metaverse.
Right. I mean, I think you just think about the metaverse as the successor to the internet. It's just shared experiences and virtual spaces. Virtual spaces have value, you know, if they're next to other attractive virtual spaces or if there's a way to have an experience that you want. So, you know, this is a pretty integrated digital first economy that we have. And that's one of, you know, the most exciting areas, I think, is as we think about whether you call it synthetic reality or the merging of virtual and physical, it's here. It's here. And
I'm curious about the metaverse specifically. I mean, you're talking about potentially investing in companies that have product that applies to, in some ways, a world that doesn't exist right now, and we don't even really know what it's going to look like. That seems so much harder to me than investing in a product in which you can understand in your own daily life right now.
Oh, kind of he's making it easier for you not to produce high returns. Come on, Eben.
I would argue it is here. It is here. You know, it's it feels like when we, you know, walk outside our doors, like, wait, well, is it here? But it is all around us, the way we, what we look at on our phones, the way we interact in many ways with mixed reality, artificial reality, looking at how we wayfind our way through on digital maps. I mean, it is here. So it's just a matter of time and our own comfort level, which I think we in the venture world, eternally optimistic, thinking about what the future looks like and where we might go with it, not being afraid of it, but being able to embrace it, even if it takes you small steps.
Who's doing this really well? We can be a portfolio company of yours or one that's not. Fortnite certainly jumps out to me in Epic Games, but who do you see in the metaverse right now that you think, oh, that's a company that has it right, at least right now?
Right. I mean, well, looking at Roblox, it's hard to deny that they're doing something really right. But I think all those that you mentioned are right there as well. This is a social environment where role play exists and people are driving and kids, great community experiences, learning. And so it's not that it's without, worry. Let's just say there's concern probably in every aspect of our lives. But there's a lot of really exciting things going on. And I actually think that there's implications for sports as well in here, as, you know, hybrid events exist. And, you know, we all got into that when we were forced to with the pandemic. How do we experience things virtually? And I think we're just getting started.
We're chatting with Meredith McFerrin, the CEO of the venture fund Drive by DraftKings. And Meredith, now you're dealing with pro sports team owners. And you know there's two ways to increase returns. You can lower cost and you can increase revenue, right? Of course, you'd love to do both. Now, the highest cost, the number one cost for pro sports team owners is the players. That's it. I have long argued that when the day comes where owners can stage events and people will come and watch, but they don't have to pay the players, that's the holy grail of pro sports team ownership. And I feel as if we're moving in that direction. I've already seen betting on virtual events, no players, virtual mm-hmm. tennis games. And So if people are willing to risk their hard-earned money on that, I don't see why it would be so different if it was under the banner and uniform of NFL, NBA, MLB. Am I crazy, or is this a world that may exist and we'll see Jerry Jones and Todd Bowley and Bob Kraft and the Dolan family chuckling and laughing all the way to the bank?
We'll have to see. And you just have to ask them yourself. That's a big dream, but let's see.
but you said it does have a wide impact on sports. Like, where are we? Like, where do we see the utilization of everything you're talking about? Which teams, which leagues? I mean, the NBA is always considered tech friendly. They have their tech summit at All-Star. Where for the average person who may not understand, they're actually living it and seeing it and breathing it. Can you point to some example and say, this is what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I mean, just look at like what's going on with ticketing. I think you guys have covered that. I mean, it's really interesting, but like NFTs and tickets, where we're just tech is transforming the experience of even just entering and being a part of it. It's not just a ticket to get in for this one game. It might be a ticket to connect for, you know, as a fan engaged for a long time, if that's an NFT, access to privileged experiences, differentiated kinds of access that you can get. The fact that you can, like you said, be able to participate remotely and feel like a part of the experience, even if you're actually not right there in the stadium and in the stand. So I think it's all changing. There's, you know, when you look at not just sports, but live entertainment, how musicians and artists are moving into, back to the metaverse, to actually split their concert schedule, part live and part actually online. Right.
My son blew my mind when he and all his pals were on playing Fortnite and there was a Marshmello concert. I had no idea what he was talking about, but my Lord, I learned pretty quickly how many people tuned in.
Oh, and they're throwing up emotes and they're engaged. And so, it's wild. It's changing fast, but I think that there's room for both. Look at the race back to live. And even with the young people, I think Sam talked about it, more young people at the baseball games going, you know, than he's ever seen before. More electricity, more excitement in the stadiums. There's room for both. There's no need to fear. I think we're just expanding our universe into more entertainment options, greater engagement. So, yes, I'm optimistic.
It was, Eben, that wasn't the most robust declaration, but I believe Meredith just declared herself a listener of the Sporticast.
Hello. She listened to Sam. Yeah, I got that.
And we thank you.
Meredith, I know, you know, some VC funds, that they vary in terms of how much of the money they've raised they're going to put into new investments, how much they're going to save to kind of reinvest in the companies that they see. What is your, you know, some are 50-50, some, you know, weight it the other way. How are you divvying up the money you've just raised in terms of scatterplot and then holding back to see who's really delivering and you want to reinvest in?
Right. We do feel it's real important to support the companies that we invest in. So we do reserve a really good part of our fund to follow on for those that need it, that are off to the races, and that we can back through multiple stages of growth.
How do you decide where to kind of how to make that? What the ratio is when you decide to deploy that second round of capital into the follow-ons that are worth it?
You know, we're pretty... there's an art and science to it, right? But I think it depends on where they are in their growth. If we are investing really early, where it's more around an insight and a team than necessarily even a specific product yet, then that reinvestment will follow that early journey into its experimentation stage. If we feel like there's progress being made, there's experiments being run, the founding team is executing, de-risking as they go, but finding the product market pathway, then it can be a little bit looser in the earliest stages. As the later stages come forth, then it's metrics-based. There's KPIs that we understand from them that they're trying to hit, and then we look at, are you hitting them? And if not, why? And what's the power of the team with regard to execution and being able to, deliver on a promise to their customers, to the market, and to the investors. So it sort of depends. Because we're multi-stage, we look at it differently depending on what stage of growth. But we have a pretty clear picture of our thesis, what we're investing in, who and why. And so, you know, that helps us quite a bit.
I've heard a lot of investors say invest in the people and not the idea. But it sounds like at the beginning there, you're saying that sometimes you guys are deploying capital with people that maybe don't even have a full rounded idea or product yet. They're just that impressive as a founder or as a developer that you guys think, okay, we're willing to, you know, give a little bit of money here to see what they can turn this into.
Right. I think, you know, those are special people, but you have to get your head around a really material insight. If something that is going to change what the future looks like. And if you connect with an entrepreneur that has a vision of the future that we think is truly differential, oftentimes an intersection between lots of different trends and things that are happening that make sense, that's a movement, a vision for how either consumers can behave differently or industry can change, then absolutely yes, we'll get behind that. And we don't expect right away for that to be an idea fully or a product fully materialized. Those are special. Those are rare. But those oftentimes change everything.
When you say rare, how rare are we talking? You take how many meetings do you leave and you say, this is it. This is one of them. Like I feel it on this person.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say with which one, but I'm just coming off a meeting of one this morning where I thought, you know, this is really interesting. It's some ways a new world vision of how people, and it's in the gaming space because I think they are particularly innovative right now. But it's, you know, different economy, a different way of playing, a different way of interacting. And it's special. I think when you hear people articulate something that's truly different. And so then you have to make a bet, and it's very risky. There's lots of friction in the way. And that's when, you know, even as you're saying, you have to be prepared to join, you know, the movement underway with them. And it's a journey. Being an entrepreneur is not easy. And we get that 100%.
Yeah, tell me about it. And yeah. By the way, Eben doesn't have this concern, but like I actually get a little facial tick when you describe that, because if you go all the way down the funnel, I mean, all the way down the funnel, there resides a 12-year-old in my house that will make you rich by saying, "Dad, and my credit card is on that darn Xbox." And, you know, I know how this is going to play out. It's just going to suck money out of my wallet, because if you think it's that great of an idea, there's that kid at the bottom of the funnel, and it's going to cost me, isn't it?
It just may.
That could be me, by the way, to be clear.
Yeah, you could be the 12-year-old, but
spending my own credit card money on things like this.
Right, but it's a third of the world population, so it's not just kids, and that's the thing.
And Meredith, we'll get you out of here on this. I'm just curious. We often describe the sports teams in college as sort of the front porch. You know, I feel like that's what the athletics are for all of the things you're talking about, the companies you invest in. If, let me go by your investors, if the Cowboys use it, if the Patriots use it, if the Knicks use it, if the Dodgers use it, boy, that's great front porch. And then you have the ability to scale.
Right. Absolutely. I think there's, you know, what you're describing as influencers, people that we respect, that the mass market looks to for guidance on what might be also good for them. And so oftentimes we will start with, and companies will start with a deployment like Whoop, for instance, with premier elite athletes. And then people look to them and say, you know what? I think that can help me too.
Hey, Will Ahmed got his start at an NFL pitch day. He won the competition of an NFL pitch day.
There we go.
We're in mine right now.
By the way, full disclosure, I was a judge that day. Okay.
The ticket right there. So yes, I mean, I think it works. And I think, you know, there's other ways to get to market. It's not the only way, but it's powerful.
All right, Meredith McFerrin, the CEO of the venture fund Drive by DraftKings. Thank you very much. We do appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you.
I was not kidding, Eben. After, 20 some odd minutes, my head starts to hurt. We're talking metaverse and the changes that are coming, and my kid's going to be spending more money on the gaming. This is really not where I needed to be right now. But anyway, we do thank Meredith, because it is darn interesting stuff to find out the future of sports. He is Eben Novy Williams on the Twitter at Novy_Williams. I am Scott Soschnick on Twitter at Soschnick. Our social media editor is Cora Veltman. She loves when I remind you that the show can be found at Sportacast, which is the hub of what will very soon become the Sportico Podcast Network.